The National Broadcasting Company invites you to Showcase. NBC, in cooperation with the British Broadcasting Corporation, brings you another in its transcribed series of half-hour programs titled Showcase. Each week at this time, you will be entertained with one of Great Britain's top-rated programs. Near the end of our broadcast, we will ask for your critical reaction to today's offering. And now, we will hear one of England's most popular variety programs, Take It From Here.
Take it from here. Don't go away when you can take it from here. Why don't you stay and maybe join in the fun now? The show has begun. Half an hour, about the second, every minute, pack the second.
For the next 30 minutes, it's Take It From Here with Joy Nichols, Dick Bentley, and Jimmy Edwards. Other words and music will be heard from Wallace Eaton, Herbert Mostyn, and the Keynotes. And we have the augmented BBC Variety Orchestra conducted by Paul Fennelly. So if you're receiving us loud and clear, sale by auction. At Messrs. Northerby's on Thursday, at the direction of Mr. Richard Makepeace Bentley, will be auctioned an exquisite collection of rare stamps. The stamps can be purchased en bloc or separately at 9d/1,000.
Well, Jimmy, there you are. If Dick can do it, you can too. Why don't you start a collection?
Well, I don't fancy taking the box round this audience. Oh, dear. Look at them.
No, my stamp collection.
Oh.
Why don't you go along to the auction and put in a bid?
Oh, not likely. Do you know, the last auction I went to, I just happened to clear my throat, and the next thing I knew, I was the owner of a well-worn walnut whatnot. Besides, I don't see anything in this collection business.
It's a wonderful hobby. Everybody collects something.
Oh, yes?
Edward G. Robinson collects painting. George Sanders collects first editions. James Mason collects cats. Then there's Errol Flynn.
Yes, but it becomes a sort of a mania. Do you know, I know a girl who collects ivory. She tried to marry Terry Thomas for his teeth.
Oh. Yes, Dick, what is it about collecting? What's the big appeal in just hoarding things?
Well, it's absorbing. Oh, when I think of the happy hours I've spent, my dog at my side, sticking thousands of stamps per evening.
But what does it leave you with, Dick?
An empty stamp packet and a spaniel with a dry tongue. Oh, I had a wonderful collection.
Really?
Thousands. I gave away most of my British Empire.
Well, that's fashionable anyway. But are these stamps worth anything?
Oh, they can be. For example, if you've got an unperforated triangular Zanzibar, you're worth a fortune.
Oh, I'd rather have my health.
Tell me, why are you selling your stamps now, Dick?
Well, for the last couple of years, I've been collecting something else.
Dust?
What I'm collecting is objets d'art.
Oh.
Antique furniture, mainly. I'm concentrating on Louis Carthorpe.
Louis XIV.
Him as well. Oh, there's a wonderful aesthetic appreciation in the craftsmanship of that era, which I find infinitely satisfying. I think I should have been born in the 18th century.
It was a near miss, Benjamin. But where are you getting the money to buy all this expensive furniture?
Well, from the sale of my stamps. Oh, I had a stroke of luck. A bloke sold me a whole set of unused North Hebridean islands, only a quid each.
North Hebridean islands? There isn't such a stamp.
There is, you know, Joy. Look, here's one.
Show.
Yeah? Oh, yes. See? It's got a little blue and red shield and NHI on top. Now, what do you think I should get for them?
About 18 months.
18 months?
Yes, those are National Health Insurance stamps.
Blue. And from a jail came
whippoorwill out on a hill, they took a new nose. Pushed it through a horn till it was worn into a blue nose. And then they nursed it, they nursed it, and gave out the news that the Southland gave birth to the blue. From a whippoorwill out on a hill, they took a new note. Pushed it through a horn until it was worn into a blue note. And then they nursed it, rehearsed it, gave out the news that the Southland gave birth to the blue. That's the story of
the birth of the blues. And over on the left, ladies and gentlemen, we have a unique opportunity of seeing our welfare state in operation. There goes old Mrs. Jones to collect her widow's pension of 32 and 6, followed by Frau Thyssen and her daughter to collect their 26 million quid. Passing to the Japanese section.
Well, it's Wall. Say, Wall, how's this building's Coronation Night street party getting on?
Oh, what a job, Jim. Mm. Everything's got to be organised, right down to the last spoonful of bicarbonate. We're going to have a decorated fertiliser barge floating up and down the canal, like a pleasure boat.
Yes, I suppose it will be.
Your mum was supposed to launch it, and we couldn't make her let go of the bottle.
What are you going to decorate the barge with, Wal?
Well, we did knock off 4 dozen of them little triangular flags. Some dishonest person pinched them. Got any idea who did it? Well, I'm not saying. All I know is when Mrs. Wilson's baby bends over, it doesn't half look colourful.
Wallace, on this fertilizer barge, what are the amenities?
Oh, well, we got dancing on the after deck, waltzes, tangos, valitas, and your dad, Jim, will be demonstrating his new step, the exercise yard shuffle. For the young people, there'll be swimming. They'll be able to dive off the side.
How high is the deck from the water, Wall?
Now, that depends on how the pumps are working. But for the older people, there'll be the building's version of the popular television game, Down You Go.
What's that?
We sew lead weights in the landlord's swimming trousers. Then at midnight, we have a spit on the captain's bridge.
Mutiny?
No. A spit for roasting.
Oh, a spit for roasting.
Instead of roasting an ox, we're going one better.
Oh.
We're going to roast our old African water buffalo.
How on earth did you get hold of an African water buffalo?
It's a long story. It started when Mr. George Cansdale was having a wash and brush up at Paddington Station. He hung his jacket with the keys in on a hook, just as Jim's brother came in.
Oh, very well, then.
But it'll be a night of up Britain, long live freedom, and hush, hush, whisper who dares. Edith and Bessie are sleeping upstairs.
And now for Type's topic for the week.
Type's topic. We read... Forward, Mr. we're doing it today. Aren't we read a bit in the paper last Monday about a quiz program on American radio which hit on a new idea. For first prize, the contestant won the announcer.
Yes, it's quite true. The winner got him for a week. The announcer had to go and stay at his house. So we thought, suppose the BBC tried the same stunt. Suppose a listener got awarded a BBC announcer.
Oh, hello, Mr. Daniel. If you'd slip your Mac off.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Come through to the living room. I've got some friends waiting who are dying to meet you. Here we are, friends. Our Eccles prize for sending in the first correct answer to the Radio Times crossword puzzle. David Daniel himself.
How do you do?
This is Mr. Crocker.
Do.
Mrs. Winston is.
Do.
Mrs. Oldcliffe. Mrs. Grant. Grant! This is David Daniel from the Wireless. Oh, look at her smiling and nodding. She thinks it's supper time, silly old fool.
Daniel, Jackson's my name.
How do you do, Jack?
How do you do? Jack out to me, friends. This is my eldest girl, Loretta. Stop chewing your beads, Loretta. Go on, go on. Ask him what you want to ask him.
What is it, Loretta?
Oh, she's gone shy. Yeah, she wanted you to say, this is the light program and General Overseas Service of the BBC.
Oh, well, yes, I like it.
Well, quiet, everybody. Quiet. Belt up for Dave. The floor's yours, Dave.
Go on, Dave, boy.
Well, go on. This is the light program and General Overseas Service of the BBC.
Hey, very good, Dave. There, Loretta. There, Loretta, if you don't stop that, you'll stay like it.
Isn't it marvellous she's in a world of her own, you know?
Dave, tell me one thing I've always wondered. When you read the 1 o'clock news, do you have your lunch before or after? Or do you have sandwiches during?
Well, generally I have it before.
Go on.
See, otherwise, by the time I get to the canteen, the main dish is off.
Oh, you have a canteen then? Fancy. I don't know, somehow I never thought of announcers as eating.
Dave, on that point, something occurs to me. If you have to bolt your lunch before and then read off all that muck directly after every meal, do you ever get, a bit of a comeback? The return of the sausage, as it was?
Oh, Les, what a question. We're not all like you.
Well, these things have got to be fate. It's only nature, isn't it? Well,
of course, if such a thing did happen, we should simply apologize. And we'd say, I beg your pardon.
Well, that's something that never occurred to me. Well, I can see we're going to learn a lot from you over this week, Dave.
How about having the 9 o'clock news on, Les? Get the weather.
Well, we'll have the news at... Well, wait a minute. Why have the wireless news on when we've got our own announcer here?
Yeah.
Go on, Dave. Give us the 9 o'clock news. Go on, then.
But I don't know the 9 o'clock news.
Well, I'll read a bit from the evening paper.
Quiet for Dave!
Go on, Dave!
Dave, I want to speak up a bit so Gran can hear. Here, read this bit here. This one, yes.
I have worn the new pencil fashion skirt, and although it may be a success in Paris, I cannot see it catching on with British women. Although...
Well, that was a week to remember, wasn't it, eh? He was a real nice lad, that Dunny, wasn't he?
Yes.
He ate with us, he went out with us, he kept grand company.
He's on tonight, you know, he said. Oh, let's hear him. It's different when somebody's been one of the family for 7 whole days. Switch on, Liz.
Right.
This is the BBC Home Service. Saturday Night Theatre presents Edda Gabler by Hedson.
The time to go home without my raising pay. Home by the fire where a man can just relax. Slippers there by the chair, not a worry nor a care. Along comes Junior swinging his little axe.
Uncle Timmy, tell me a story.
Shut up.
Tell me a story.
Shut up.
Tell me a story. Remember what you said.
Oh, dear.
Tell me how your eye got black because it always hits your back. Tell me a story and then I'll go to bed.
All right. Once upon a time, I remember long ago.
Oh, now don't go back in history. Your memory's kind of slow.
Stop your noisy talking till I finish with my tale. Once upon a...
Upon a what?
Upon your back, you'll get a swat.
Tell me about the fish you caught that's bigger than a whale.
Oh, I haven't said.
Tell me a story. Tell me a story. Tell me a story. Remember what you said.
Yes.
You promised me you said you would. You've got to give in so I'll be good.
Here's a tale you won't forget. And now get up to bed.
Oh, do you tell me another story, Uncle Jimmy?
All right, I'll tell you the story about a horrid little boy who kept pestering his uncle until he shot him.
No. yourself.
Oh, dear.
Tell me how your eye got black, because the doorway hit your back. Tell me a story, and then I'll go to bed.
All right. Once upon a time, I remember long ago.
Oh, now don't go back in history. Your memory's kind of slow.
Stop your noisy talking till I finish with my tale. Once upon a...
Upon a what?
Upon your back, you'll get a swat.
Tell me about the fish you caught that's bigger than a whale.
Oh, I haven't said.
Tell me a story. Tell me a story. Tell me a story. Remember what you said.
Yes.
You promised me you said you would. You gotta give in so I'll be good.
Here's a tale you won't forget.
Ow! My tail's all red.
And now get up to bed.
Oh, gee, tell me another story, Uncle Jimmy.
All right, I'll tell you the story about a horrid little boy who kept pestering his uncle until he shot him.
No.
So we come to the TIFE Film Award, the TIFE Oscar. And this week it's the Don't You Realize That the Earth Is Being Invaded by Hostile Creatures from Another Planet, all of them armed with strange, deadly weapons against which mankind has no defense, so that the whole of our world is in danger of being enslaved by these alien monsters from outer space? Type of tripe.
Yes, it's Hollywood's newest plot. We've had several recent films showing us what is likely to happen if invaders from Mars land their spaceships on American soil.
Our Tosca-winning film shows what would happen if Martians had the infernal impudence to land on British soil. Ladies and gentlemen, we present Of Martian Men, or Here's a Thing. April the 15th, 1964, it happened. From the black night sky, there was a rush, a whoosh, a screaming blaze of light, and a great saucer-shaped object hurled itself into the peaceful earth of a Stoke Newington back garden.
A moment of silence. Then from inside came a scrabbling noise. A hatch lifted and something snaked out. A scaly, groping tentacle with claws and a great hair.
Wait a minute, Wallace. Bentley, come out of that cupboard. It's only a story.
The Martians had arrived.
The first intimation the government had was the report from Albert Clamp, the Stoke Newington man in whose back garden the spaceship fell. The following morning, he arrived at the office of the Home Secretary, Sir Smedley Blatherley.
And just finished the letter by saying that as regards the damage to the statue in Trafalgar Square, I'm afraid that's not my pigeon. then finish yours affect the onset. Oh, dear, the phone again. I won't keep you a moment, Mr. Clamp. Hello, Blathering here. Oh, it's you, Winnie. Mm. Yes, another late due last night, what, eh? Eh? You lost your garter? Well, I haven't got it. Goodbye.
Was that the Prime Minister?
No, it was one of the girls in the typing pool. Yeah. Man's not made of wood. No, Mr. Clamp, you wanted to see me?
Oh, sir, it's awful, sir, it's awful, sir. There is a thing at the bottom of my garden.
Oh, my dear fellow, lots of old houses are built like that.
No, sir. I don't mean the potting shed.
Oh, pardon me.
Sir, I know you'll say I'm off me nut, but, sir, a spaceship from another planet has landed on my rhubarb.
The deuce it has.
Last night, sir, my wife Ada saw it come down, sir.
Did she?
Yes, she went out to try and chuck it over into the garden next door. We don't get on very well with the people next door. He's a Major Prendergast, sir,
yes,
in the Indian Army. Very toppy nose.
Yes, yes.
Oh, many's the time I've said to him, look here, Major, you can't talk to me like that. I was your number one boy.
Yes. Get on about the weird, unearthly monster.
Well, I told you, sir, Ada went out to have a deco. Then from the spaceship, a sort of tentacle came out, pointed a kind of tube at her. There was a flash. And my Ada, she was just a little pile of gray dust. I don't know what to make of it, sir.
Well, how about an egg timer?
Oh, sir, there are dozens of monsters on the spaceship, sir.
Oh.
What are they, sir? What are they?
Keep a cool head. Keep a cool head. Don't clamp, my dear Panic. I'll send for the Home Office biologist. Ask Miss Caldicott to come up. She's a very clever woman, this Miss Caldicott. A blue stocking, you know.
A blue stocking?
Yes, she keeps her fountain pen clipped to her nylons.
You sent for me, Mr. Smedley?
Oh, yes, yes. Now, well, what was it I wanted you for?
The Marshal's Landing.
Yes, yes, the Marshal's. Don't getting hysterical, Mr. Clamp. I have to advise you, Miss Caldicott, that incredible though it may seem, the ultimate catastrophe is upon us.
The auditors have arrived?
The Martians, Miss. Unearthly creatures, all scaly and horrible. Horrible, Miss. Horrible!
Oh, control yourself, man. Mr. Smedley, give me the salient facts in terms that a scientist can assimilate.
Well, I see it. They've turned his wife into an egg timer and ruined his rhubarb.
Oh, I'm sorry I rounded on you, Clamp. It must have been a pretty grievous blow.
I can't believe it. How can I keep going without Miss Stewart Rhubarb?
But you've lost your wife.
Well, it's nice of you to try and cheer me up, Miss. All I want is to see these creatures destroyed. Destroy them before they destroy us.
Sir Smedley, I have just come from analyzing the Martian invaders, and I have discovered they are an oxygen-breathing form of organic life.
Oh, they are awful.
Yes. Physically, they are 18 feet tall, and their eyes wave above the top of their heads on stalks.
By Jiminy, they're absolutely built for coronation watching.
They have completely annihilated Stoke Newington and are advancing on Dalston Junction, wiping out everything in their path.
Sir Smedley, you must mobilize the army.
Send out jet bombers.
Warn the world.
But it's 5 to 5. Can't it wait till the morning?
Sir Smedley, the world must know now.
This is the Light Program and Overseas Service of the BBC. Here is an announcement of vital urgency. Our country is being invaded by the planet of Mars. All listeners are warned to stand by their radio sets, and the BBC will issue communiques at 15-minute intervals. Meanwhile, here is a record of Charlie Coons playing a medley from White Horse Inn. For just a moment, we interrupt the record to give you another report. At this moment, a hushed House of Commons is listening anxiously to the Home Secretary, Sir Smedley Blathery.
The hooks in the cloakroom have definitely been swiped by somebody. No. Order, please. And now, Mr. Speaker, I come to the grave matter about which the whole world is deeply concerned, and which the members of this House have quite rightly...
Wait a minute. Whoa, back. I've broken the lead of my pencil. Nothing on there. Give me a chance to sharpen it.
I'm sorry, Mr. Hansard. Now... Mr. Speaker, I have been in conference with my expert advisors all afternoon.
What about the Martians?
I'm coming to that. If the honorable member would stop ogling Miss Pat Hornby Smith and pay attention for a bit, maybe we'd get on a bit faster. Mr. Speaker, I have brought to the House Mr. Albert Clamp himself.
Well, Your Honor, all I can say is that I never had a fair chance. One of them coppers get their knife into you.
Clamp! Are you talking about this isn't a court? Perhaps Miss Caldicott had better tell the House the whole situation.
The situation is that the Martians are invincible. It's true. It's quite true. They have this ray. A ray which induces a feeling of complete numbness.
But what sort of ray is it that induces complete numbness? Don't worry, Ted. We've resisted the temptation. But, Mildred, Miss Caldicott, how can we hit back at them?
We have no way of hitting back. We're powerless against them. All we can do is surrender.
Surrender? You ask Britain to give in? Never. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, I think I'm conveying the spirit of the House when I say that this is ridiculous. Is this the spirit of Drake? Drake, the finest center forward Arsenal ever had? Surely there must be something that can kill the Martians and Martianesses.
I've got the answer. I alone can save the world.
Who said that?
Me, Albert Clamp.
Oh, thank heavens. I thought it was Renarum Bevan. You have the answer?
Sir Smed, I've been having a big think.
You have?
I have. The only dead Martians are the ones that landed in my garden. And I think I know why. The Martians are susceptible to rhubarb.
The Martians?
By jingo, it could be. It is possible for certain organic chemicals to affect their Martian metabolism. Yes. With rhubarb, you get hyperphosphate alkali and vituated potash.
Really? I get custard with mine. Speaker, honorable members, you realize what this means? Rhubarb is the way to save the world.
Now the scientists sprang into action.
The finest brains in England blueprinted the rhubarb bomb. Sir John Cockcroft, Frank Whittle, Dr. Penny, with the technical assistance of Philip Harbin.
The situation was now desperate. New York had gone down magnificently. The south of France was overrun. The Bahamas were lost. It began to look as though the dockers would have to spend their next holiday at Westcote.
Then word came that the rhubarb bomb was ready. It was a very grave Home Secretary who took his place in the observation trench, facing the oncoming mass.
I'm sorry I'm late. I had to wash my shirt. I'm on in the news on Friday. Now, this is it, isn't it? All set, Dr. Caldicott?
All set. In that bomb, there are 400 tons of concentrated stewed rhubarb.
Without sugar. Makes me tingle all funny.
The destruction will take place in exactly 3 minutes.
But how will we know when that is? We haven't got a watch.
Don't worry. I brought me egg timer.
Well, hurry up. They're advancing towards us.
Right. I'll give Ada a bit of a tap. Now. That's it. Now.
It's worked. Look at them reeling and staggering.
No. Don't get out of the trench. The whole area is still rhubarb active.
Look. Look, they're taking their spaceship. They're flying away.
We've won. The world is saved thanks to you, Mildred.
Mildred!
I'm talking to him. Thanks to your ingenuity, the Martians have gone. All that remains of their stay here are those strange ray guns with which they've reduced so many of us to little heaps of dust.
I reckon we should keep them ray guns as souvenirs of the greatest peril the world has ever known.
I absolutely concur.
Well concurred. I, in that case, you too shall have this one to keep for yourselves.
Oh, Tar, it's very nice.
Take it. But do be careful not to press this little knob where my finger is resting, because the slightest pressure will release it. Oh, somebody fetch the vacuum cleaner.
And the augmented BBC Variety Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Joy Nichols, Dick Bentley, and Professor Jimmy Edwards, encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Herbert Mostyn, and the keynotes. Frank Miller and Dennis Norton wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. Joy, Dick, and Jimmy invite you to
take it from me.
Did you enjoy today's edition of Showcase? Would you like us to broadcast one of these variety programs each week? Or would you prefer listening to another one of England's top-rated shows? Let us know, as we are most anxious to receive your comments. Your letters may determine the type of program we will present in a full series after our initial 13-week broadcast of Showcase. So write to Showcase, NBC, New York 20, New York, and let us know whether or not you would like to hear a series of variety programs such as we offered on today's broadcast. Next week at this time, Showcase will bring you a true story of a famous trial at Old Bailey in 1911, Prisoner at the Bar. This is Gene Hamilton. We'll be expecting you next Saturday for Showcase.
Top French talent is featured in Spotlight on Paris tonight on the NBC Radio Network.